It's interesting that you asked that question. Is it for the week or is it for the week? Number one, what is the week? And number two, what are the week? Right? Week is different meanings in the Word of God for week, as in unit of time. It's for the ages. One of the meanings is an era, a week. For example, Daniel's 70 weeks. Right? Different ages, different eras. Weak. What is it to be weak? See, there's a strange thing about a walk, a life with God. I don't even like saying walk with God. That's not a good term. A life with God. There's a strange thing about a life with God. If I am weak, then I am strong. If I think I know anything, I know nothing. You know, we get into these reversals with God. People don't like these reversals, because they go contrary to the nature, the fallen nature of man. The fallen nature of man doesn't like to be weak. And the fallen nature of man doesn't like to be unwise. Now mind you, I say unwise, I don't say foolish, but unwise. But I have to become as someone who is unwise. Jesus said, unless you are like one of these little ones, like a child, someone who is unwise, unless I become like that, I cannot come to Him. I cannot enter the kingdom. If I think I know anything, I know absolutely nothing as I ought to know it. So there is a way that I ought to know things. But if I think that I actually have knowledge of any sort, I don't know anything. And this is a very good picture, I think, of the world and what the world does. I need to become weak. Something the world despises is weakness. But I need to become weak in order to become strong. This is why when Jesus was hanging on the cross in Mark chapter 15, they said, come down from there and we will believe. No, they wouldn't believe. He raised the dead. They wouldn't believe if He came down from there. It was a mocking, it was a scoffing, it was a saying, okay, if I have some sight finally at last, I'll believe. But they had all the sight in the world, and they still did not believe. It was a condition of their heart because they were strong and He was weak. And so, because they were strong, they were unbelieving, and He, being weak, became the Savior. I need to become weak. I need to become as one of those little ones. And God will put me into places in my life where that weakness is going to come in. And you can be absolutely certain that He will let me know that I am weak. Because if I am not weak, then He cannot be my strength. This is why John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease. My self-life must decrease. Why? Because my self-life is a bondage. My bondage must decrease so that my liberty, my freedom can increase. People think, and they think in error, that there is a bondage to walking, having a life with God. To having a life with God. That it is a bondage that is a system of rules and laws and oughts and ought nots. And that is what it means to have a life with God. They are dead wrong. They are dead wrong. The system of ought or ought not is a meaningless system. What does have meaning is when the Word of God and the Holy Spirit transform my heart. And the life of God becomes a living entity within me. And I experience the life that God has. That is meaningful. That is freedom. Now the world says, I like my options and I like my choices. I like being able to decide, and I like being in control. And by this, I am an independent thinker. And I think for myself. I've got news for the world. They don't have a mind to think with. They think they think for themselves. But they do not. What they do is they respond almost like my dog. almost like my dog, except I think my dog is a little bit more intelligent than most of the world, because my dog knows where its food bowl is. It can always find its food bowl and its water dish. Doesn't matter where in the house I put it, my dog knows where it is. The world does not. The world does not know what to feed on, and the world does not know what to drink. Right? But unless I eat the body, the life, the flesh of God, the flesh of Christ, and drink His blood, I have no part in Him. And this was a difficult saying. But unless I eat His flesh and drink His blood, I have no part in Him. And people in the early days, and this Rome used this to persecute the Christians, said, hey, these people are practicing cannibalism. But they did not understand what that meant. Unless I eat His word and drink the righteousness and the cleansing that He has given to me, then I have no part in Him. Why do I drink the blood? Because I need to be cleansed from within. Why do I eat the word? Because it is my sustenance. And so, unless I eat His flesh and drink His blood, I have no part in Him. The world does not like this. To the world, these things are an offense. Religion doesn't like this. This is an offense also to religion. Why? Because it says that I can do nothing in and of myself, and religion is a means of man being righteous before God without having God's righteousness in him. So they try to work it up, so they try to get themselves to a place where they say, okay, I'm doing okay with God now. And you know what the world does? I think Christianity often becomes, for some people, a means of getting by in the world. Okay, I've got my little niche in the world. I'm part of the Christian crowd. I'm part of the religious crowd. And I feel righteous because I don't do the things that they do. Thank you, God, that I am not as other men are. Right? Isn't that what the Pharisee prayed? And I do these things. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I have. I'm glad I'm not like this public, and he's a wicked, dirty little sinner. He can't even get himself into the temple. He just stands at the door. He won't even go up to the altar. Why? And I don't blame him. I'm sure the Pharisee was thinking, I don't blame him for not going up to the altar. Why? Because he's a dirty little sinner. You know what? I'm a dirty little sinner. The Pharisee was a dirty little sinner of a worse sort, because he was a self-righteous, dirty little sinner. Unless I realize that I'm nothing more than a dirty little sinner, I'm not going to receive the mercy of God. Because I won't come to the mercy of God. But the publican, who knew exactly who he was, he came to the Lord and said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I love that story. Have mercy on me. Because he received mercy. The Pharisee received nothing. He wasn't even heard, but the publican received mercy. If I think that I know anything, I know absolutely nothing. If I think I am strong, I am very, very weak because I don't have God's strength. And as a man, I am nothing more than just a bunch of dust and some water. So I'm mud. Okay? I'm just mud. And that's all that I am. Just a bunch of dust and some water. Dust is not weak. You can step on it and it collapses. You know, you blow on it and it blows away. But God's strength in a man makes him immovable. God's strength in a man makes him the likeness of Christ. God's strength in a man is ask whatsoever you will, just like the Savior did, and it will be done for you. Jesus wasn't the one who performed the miracles. The Father was. Jesus simply asked for them. He believed. God's strength in a man. You see, the world thinks they like their choices, but they are in fact in bondage to their choices. Why are they in bondage to their choices? Because they have to decide on the basis of a preference. And they have to select what will meet my needs the best. What will fulfill my emotions the best. But the deception in this is that nothing in the world will meet my needs at all. And I may think, well, certainly it will. I'll get a good job and I'll make a lot of money and I'll have good things. You know, when I worked in the ER, half of the doctors I knew, and most of them were very well-to-do. I mean, these were people who make more in 1 hour than I make in 1 week. Most of them were very well-to-do. Yet, at the same time, half of them were very miserable in their jobs. They hated them. If they could get out of them, if they could get out from under the financial burden of having become what they were, they would do it. One guy I know, and he was a very well-to-do doctor, he was a very good doctor, as a matter of fact, he didn't like it. He wished he could have been a trucker. And he dreamed about when he got out of debt, because he had his expensive house and his huge medical school bills. He dreamt of buying a 18-wheeler and with his son starting a little trucking company. That was his dream. You see, the world did not fulfill his needs. The world cannot fulfill my needs. God says that he fulfills all my needs. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. People think that in the presence of God, you got to cower a little bit because they call that humility. And being humble is thinking very poorly of myself and kind of walking half slouched over, kind of looking up at God and please don't hurt me. That has not 1 ounce to do with humility. That has to, you know what that is? It's a weird religious concept for a person who doesn't know who he is before God. That's what that is. Can't stand people who cower. Why? Because God didn't make us into cowards. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us, what did He give us? He gave us a sound mind. Sound mind. Some of the best soldiers in the military are the Christians. Why? Because they're not afraid. They're not afraid because they know they have a source. And they know how they have a God. And they know that if they are the only man on the battlefield, they outnumber the enemy. Right? It's like in the war with Egypt and Israel, 69. I love the reports of the Israeli soldiers. As the Egyptian tanks were rolling in the Sinai Desert, and the Israeli tanks, far outnumbered by the Egyptians, were rolling on the other side. The Egyptians stopped dead, got out of their tanks and ran away. Why? Because they saw angels hovering over the Israeli tanks. An army of angels. This is a fight I don't need. You know what? They were smart. I'd get out of there too if I was in their shoes. One angel killed 185,000 men in one night. That's a fight they didn't need, and they were right. That's a fight they didn't need. They were wise to get out of the way. There is nothing in the world that can satisfy like God. However, grace is unmerited. Grace is unmerited. It wouldn't be grace. Love is unconditional. God will love regardless of anything. It doesn't matter how bad off I get in my life. It doesn't matter how badly I sin or fail. God will still love me, and that will never change. But a life with God has a price. A life with God has a price. And two people have to pay it. One already did. But a life with God has a price. There's a song, I like this song a great deal. I wish I could remember its title, I don't. But one of the lyrics in that song says, "He is no fool who trades what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." The world does the opposite. The world trades what they would not have lost to gain what they cannot keep. They look for a reputation, they look for money, they look for satisfaction, they look for a relationship, they look for happiness. But it is fleeting. There are only three things, and there are three things that we can take to heaven from here. The Word of God we store in our hearts, the souls that we win to Christ, and the rewards of cups of cold water. Those are the only three things that we can keep. Nothing else. But those are the things that we will never lose. Now, a lot of believers, I think, don't really believe. They do on a certain level. They believe enough for salvation. Thank God for that. They believe that there is a heaven. Thank God for that. They believe that Christ died for them. If they didn't, they wouldn't be saved. But they don't really believe. Because their life often ends right there. But there is so much more. This is the beginning. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. 70 years and out. Right? Isn't that what we're told? 70 years and out. If you're fortunate. And then everything starts. We are on a launching pad. That's all. This is what the world is a launching pad. Get equipped while you can. Because the things that you take with you now are the only things you receive. There is no magic wand in heaven. There is no pixie dust that gives you divine understanding. There is a lack of the old sin nature. But there is not something in heaven that will all of a sudden I get there and all of a sudden I have content in my soul. No. That's not how it works. In Psalms, we're told that we have a soul body. And that believers differ as the stars in glory. It is better for me to equip myself well while I'm on this launching pad. And then, when the journey begins to be well equipped, then for me to not equip myself because I've been distracted with the things of the world. And then go into heaven unequipped. What do I mean by equipped? I mean that believers differ in glory as the stars of the heaven. There is a coat of, like a coat, a cloak of glory, of actually bright light that will be placed over us. And it is given for afflictions. There are rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. Those are for three things: receiving the word, responding to God, loving with God's love. Now, believers will not receive the word, they will not respond to God, and they don't know how to live love with God's love because they haven't learned to receive it. They love with a conditional love. If you don't believe this, find one in the average church and cross them. And see, they won't say it to your face because they are too well religiously trained. But see what they say in their heart or at home. And you will find out if they love with God's love. Well, you won't, but they will. But those are the only three things that were based on at the Bema seat. Primarily the Word. Primarily the Word. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And that is the only way to live my life. And if I live it apart from that, then I'm not actually living any life at all. So if I want a life, it has to come by faith in the Son of God. And how do I get that faith? By hearing in Romans chapter 10. I get it by hearing. And hearing comes by the Word, and the Word comes through a preacher. And that hearing is literally, in the original language, the auditory sense. It's speaking of literal hearing. Yes, I read my Bible. Yes, I meditate. Yes, I pray. Those things are important. But faith comes by hearing. Never sacrifice that life for the things of the world. If you do, you have deceived yourself into thinking that you have something that you don't have. And the day will come that will reveal it. Be careful about that. This has been very heavily on my heart the past few days. I don't know why. But be careful about that. There is only one way to live. The just will live by faith. Anyway, just a thought before we get started.